this has been reported as a...
Now you're on.
I'd like to call to order the special board meeting. It's Wednesday, July 18th, 2018. It's 5:30. This is a special meeting of the Board of Education in public for the purpose of conducting the school district's business and is not to be considered a public community meeting. Prior to adjourning, the board will meet an executive session for the consideration of the appointment, employment, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official as per Board Policy 0166, Item A. Let's all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 2, roll call.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Kramer?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
And Mr. Peterson is absent this evening.
Item 3, other board business. We have A, we have our bond resolution as seen in tab 1. May I have a motion?
Are we doing a motion for all of them? Or?
We had them separated out just in case, because we knew David was here, just in case you had questions or anything.
Okay.
So may I have a motion?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Questions for Mr. Riley? No? Okay. All right. Roll call.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Kramer?
Yes.
Mr. Peterson?
Yes.
No, you're not Mr. Peterson.
Oh, sorry. Well, I thought you skipped him last time.
I know I did. Sorry, Michael.
It's a trick.
Mr. Ziegler? Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
All right. Pass this by.
B, City of Brecksville, BBH CSD Development Agreement. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Discussion? Questions? Service agreement, correct?
Yeah, I wanted David to come just because, you know, when you've got two entities coming together, we're all trying to meet together. So you guys had a couple of just, you know, some insignificant typo changes, but then the city had come back to David with some other changes. So I wanted David to come just to kind of go over what some of those are. Also kind of insignificant, but to walk you through them because it's going to look different than the document that you were given previously.
The first thing is the document name changed.
Okay.
To a memorandum of understanding. The city had just done a development agreement with the Bureau of Veterans Affairs, which was a 35-page, I guess, multi-year negotiation, and they didn't want to call this a development agreement and have everybody say, but our last one was 35 pages, why is this one only three? Or four, whatever this wound up being. So that it's a distinction without a difference. We could call it Barney and it's still the same. The big thing is, are we getting on the same page, generally speaking, on the project? And they had a couple of minor things. They caught the one reference where I had reduced the basketball courts from 6 to 4, and then I think it was somebody else brought up that I missed the reference to it. They caught that. They did add some language to the stadium drive. We had a fair amount of conversation about stadium drive, which is number 2. Because we're transferring or we're retaining the ability to do things there. And all we're going to basically agree to is we're going to do a shared use development agreement for that property when the time comes. Everyone understands kind of the basics of it, which is we're going to be able to continue to use that for our athletic needs, and they're going to be able to use it at other times. But we'll eventually come up with an agreement as to who's cutting the lawn, who's striping the field, what there's a building there. I understand a structure.
There, it's a structure.
Yes. That needs some attention. You know, how does that get handled? Those kinds of things that we just want. We don't need to do it all now, but we'll have a conversation on that project, and there'll be a separate shared use agreement that deals with that issue.
How difficult did you get the feeling that would be to work out some of those things?
I don't think it's. There's 100% agreement on the basic concept, which is. We have it 100% of the time as we've used it in the past, we'll be able to continue using it in the future. It's just a question of drafting that language.
Right.
We were trying to avoid getting down into, from the close of school until dusk, we shall be able to do X, Y, and Z. And I think the real issue comes down to, the city has some visions that they might want to develop a baseball field there or other things, and we are probably not against that. We just want to make sure there's a place that we have enough spots for students to practice football or soccer or whatever we need that needs large open expanses of green grass. And whether that happens there or that functionality gets moved somewhere else, we might be more flexible, but right now, it's, this is our usage that we need. I think we also play games there.
7th grade football.
Want to make sure whatever we do, we run by the athletic director, make sure they're on board. The city understands, and our athletic needs will continue as we have used it in the past, so we will use it in the future, but we haven't dotted I's and crossed T's.
So the district maintains ownership?
No, we're going to transfer ownership to the city.
Okay.
So we're going to have a retained interest in the property forever.
Okay.
Essentially an easement for football purposes.
Okay.
Just a retained right to use. But it will transfer to them, which frankly helps you probably a little bit under your collective bargaining agreement, because that means they probably have to do the lawn cutting and all those kinds of things.
Well, yeah, not only that, but you know, we had an issue a few years back where somebody tripped on some uneven pavement and then we had to remediate, and
sure.
Then you're exposed to, you know, lawsuits, yeah. Potentially.
If someone gets hurt, you're still going to get sued, but it's more likely going to be the city's issue than your issue.
Okay.
So here's the thing. So it's transferring as of the 27th, right, of July. Is that correct?
No.
No. When's this happen?
We will not transfer Stadium Drive until they transfer to us the 25-acre portion of Parcel D,
right,
which will likely happen around December. So we'll do the shared use agreement between now and December, and at the time of transfer, we will transfer that to them, and we'll have the shared use agreement that gives us the same interest in the property as we've had, other than we wouldn't be able to put a building on it.
Which I understand. I guess the concern's coming. So let's say, you know, we just had black mold in that one structure. You know, does that, now that's their response. If we don't have it spelled out.
We'll do that in the shared use agreement between now and December.
Okay.
We're not ready to do.
But that will be done before that transfer.
Correct.
These things will be completely
absolutely
spelled out. Okay.
Yeah, because we can't, if we don't know where the building's going to be, where our building and the field house are going to get sited on the property yet. It's looking like the schematic design phase will finish around the end of October for the architect, at which point they'll know where the buildings are going on the property. That will then give us a little bit of time to generate legal descriptions and probably come to you in December to officially transfer that property to the city and take ownership of Parcel D.
Okay.
Some 25-acre portion of Parcel D. Because there are some issues with the new school, like we probably want the access drive to be on city property. We may need to have some access on Oaks directly so that the county will record it, things like that. We just have to work through. For snow plowing purposes, it might
right
make sense for the city to own the drive so their city trucks do that. We don't have our custodians feeling that that's part of their duties.
Is there any need, because I looked at it quickly, I don't think there's anything in there to refer to value of land. That was one of the questions.
That was what I was going
to
ask.
You can sometimes get caught up in that. We certainly could do appraisals if we wanted to. I don't know what the value is of Stadium Drive if we get to use it every afternoon during the fall, and, you know, from August till November-ish. You know, that they become very hard properties to value, even the central property downtown. As somebody who has probably sold more school buildings than anybody else in the state of Ohio, I can tell you that oftentimes the value really is negative.
Damn.
Because if you're done with a building, there's not a lot left in it. And usually they might even have a negative value because somebody needs to demolish it to redevelop it. And so if you can get out of demoing a building, which generally will run about $7 a square foot. So a central school, is it 100,000 square feet?
There's 600, about 600 kids that go there,
but it's a really tightly packed building.
You know, even if you're at 80,000 square feet, you probably have a $500,000 cost to demolish it.
I think taking that thing down would absolutely cost them, based on my experience.
Yeah, it's, so you just sit there and you say, you know, I've tried to sell them. I mean, Strongsville went through this fairly publicly about 2 years, 18 months ago, 2 years or so. They had an old building, we put it up for auction. Everyone thought it was going to go for, you know, $300,000 or $400,000, and I think it went for $120,000. And now you've got a mess. And for them, it was $250,000 to demolish it. So you sit there and say, is it really, are we really getting 120 or really getting 370? Because we're avoiding $250,000 expense and we're getting the 120, so we're kind of netting out 370. But that's a hard thing to explain to folks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think for probably, say, political reasons, we'd be best off to stay away from that as much as we can. Didn't know what kind of requirement we might have.
There's no requirement. There's a specific statute, 3313, well, there's two statutes, 331340. Specifically allows a school district to exchange property with a municipal corporation, which a city is. So we're writing that statute primarily. Even if we were not under that statute, 331341, the next statute right after that section, provides that if we were to try to offer it to, as long as we offer it to charter schools operating in the district, we could sell it to a political subdivision on any terms we shall agree. So there's always been this understanding that we want governments to work together. And let's not get all caught up in dollar values.
Well, and the reality is that if this was just a straight land swap with nothing else associated with it, it would make more sense to get the value. So you see, are we, you know, are we losing? But with the shared service, and you just, I mean, there are so many win-win elements of this arrangement. When you look at not having to put a gym in and then the city having ownership of that, and even the small things like the driveway plowing, landscaping, grass cutting, blah blah blah, all these things will be to the district's benefit for many years to come. And so it's hard to put a value on that.
Correct.
You know,
just sharing, I mean, right now the deal, one of the big changes that happened as we talked with the city is the deal originally I had drafted that we would allocate certain common expenses based upon, I did it based upon square footage. And that's a little unfair based upon the square footage the city is building. A soccer field would have a huge square footage,
right?
But it doesn't have, you don't need dramatically more bathrooms because you built a soccer field.
Right.
So we changed that to costs. So we'll allocate some of those common expenses based on cost.
Right.
But if you figure you have to run a sewer line, well, now we're paying 2/3 of that cost and they're paying 1/3. We would have paid 100% of that line if we were building the school by ourselves. Water, all those kinds of things, we're going to be able to share those costs. We should be able to operate with a smaller parking lot because the parking lot should only need to be sized for one facility because we're not going to run the facility simultaneously. So there's no need to expand the parking lot. That becomes a reduction in costs for the school district because you would have built the parking lot to serve your needs anyway. And it helps the city because they would have built a parking lot. Now we're building less asphalt. It's also in greener environmentally. It's a win-win all the way around.
Not having to put a gym in our building. You know, that's huge.
You're probably saving 10,000 square feet, or you can repurpose that 10,000 square feet into other educational uses.
Right.
12,000.
Well,
just based on the number of kids we have, we couldn't do one gym, so it doubles. You know, you need two gyms like you would need the size of the high school because you essentially have more kids. So it's really a cost savings to us to not have to build that extra square footage.
And educationally is a huge benefit. I mean, just having, you know, indoor recess. You know, now they can play soccer, you know, and do other things on a field they would not otherwise be able to take advantage of. They'd be in a cafeteria or an empty classroom bouncing off the walls.
Well, and you get into the whole stadium drive element where, you know, we had costs with remediating black mold and potential lawsuits. And if the city can come in and say, hey, we're going to put a new track in or we're going to do a new baseball, whatever improvements they make are all things that we wouldn't have been throwing money at likely anyway. So that then that just makes it better for everybody. They get a use.
Yeah.
We get so. That's why some of the value, when you look at you just the straight land, it's, you know, it's hard to quantify that. You really, I don't know that you want to go too far down that road just because of all the other benefits you get with this arrangement.
Yeah, and I don't know what they're going to do to Central to the, I guess, your central school.
We're going to turn it into senior housing so that my wife and I can move in someplace.
That's fantastic. Independence had that vision too, when I sold the old middle school to the city for $2 million. That was really, it wasn't really.
Put you in Comstock.
That was part of the overall plan.
Yeah,
became senior housing.
Move the papers to your house.
You and Kathy just need to digitize everything.
Yeah, that's what you're, yeah, you could have went free.
The bigger thing that you're doing is you're shifting responsibility to the extent that central might become a political issue as to, oh, we want to redevelop it for housing or all these other potential uses. That's no longer your problem. That's the city's problem. Go talk to them, work it out with them. We don't have to worry about demolishing it or repurposing or doing any of those things. Let the city handle that, either economic development, whatever they want to do. Schools are tough redevelopment projects. There aren't too many that have really turned out successfully. I guess maybe you want to be the second or third owner of a school redevelopment project because they're very expensive to redevelop. So the other change that did occur is they want us to basically give them a deed to the central property that they will hold in escrow until the new school is built. I don't view that as a big deal. It's just kind of a, we don't trust you, we want to make sure we have the deed so we can record it when the new school is ready. It's not a big, I trust that we would deliver the deed when the time came and. Well, lawyers think bad thoughts professionally.
Well, sure, we pay you to do that.
And so this is somebody thinking, well, what if the board doesn't? Fine, we'll give you a deed now. It doesn't matter.
It'll be a new board.
Well, right. It could be a new board, and I think that's where their thought was, is that, you know, you guys could turn over by the time that building is built. Yeah. And so what if the new board comes in and says, no, we changed our mind. We don't want to give you central school. Okay. So it's their way of just kind of ensuring that, you know, what we said we were going to do, we're going to do.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else really in the agreement of any consequence changes that they made. We did delete any reference to cost of projects. There was a little concern, especially on the part of the city, that they don't know their cost of project yet. They know what they want, and they need to get estimates on what that cost will be. So rather than fight about whether it's $15 million, $14 million, $12 million, $16 million, we just took out all reference to cost, and they'll work with the architect to develop that in the next month or so. We did spend a fair amount of time with the city going over a calendar. We'll share that just because that kind of lays out kind of the to-do things. There's a number of things coming up in August with the architect engaging with the various stakeholders here in the district on the school portion. Hopefully we'll get numbers to you by early November as to where the budget, where the estimated costs of the project are. And then we'll have the real estate deal coming sometime in that December time frame.
Okay.
Great.
My only concern on the project is the wetlands that are on. There's about 8 acres of wetlands on that property. Anytime you're dealing with the Army Corps of Engineers, they work at their own schedule. The mayor feels very comfortable that they've started the process with the Army Corps of Engineers. Everybody understands what's going on. They've had conference calls, and there doesn't seem to be any showstoppers. They basically agreed on what's called the delineation, which is what's a wetland and what isn't. That's been agreed to. And so then the rest of it just becomes a question of money. Usually it's how are those wetlands categorized and how much replacement wetlands do you need to purchase in order to atone for your sin of destroying the wetlands here. And usually it's a 2.5 or a 1.5 times, depending upon the quality of the wetland that you are demolishing. That's the city's responsibility. But we do have our architect engaged in that process now, and they're setting up a conference call between them, the wetlands consultant the city hired, which is Chagrin Valley. By all accounts, they've got the best guy doing this. Larry Linville, I think is his name. Everybody agrees he's very knowledgeable. I have not worked with him before, but everybody speaks highly of him. He seems to be confident, but it's just making sure we understand what that is, because that's the greatest risk when you count on the federal government to do something. They move at their own pace.
Okay. But you said that falls on the city.
That's the city's responsibility to manage. The mayor knows that. He's got it.
Sure.
He says, we've got this covered, but...
It's still in the critical path.
Again, I'm the bad thought thinker.
Well, you've seen around us what we've seen happen with the bats, and...
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I'm sure they didn't anticipate that either, and look how that's put them behind.
Yes.
So it's concerning.
Is that Richfield or...
Worlton, and who else?
Oh, Worlton's got the wetland.
Yeah.
Oh, they have the wetland. Who's the bats? Revere?
Revere had a bat issue, yes.
Yeah, the major problem in North Worlton was the wetlands consultant thought they were, was being conservative, which had a different meaning from what we would all think conservative to mean. They, when in doubt, they did not label it as a wetland. And so there was a slight disconnect when they went to the Army Corps of Engineers. They thought there was about a half acre, and the Army Corps of Engineers came back and said...
So you said that this preliminary work has already been done, so we don't, we're past that.
We should be beyond that. We should be beyond the problem that North Worlton ran into. I have not seen anything from the Army Corps saying we agree with, I will mess up the language, but generally what happens is the owner of the property submits a map, a blob map, for lack of a better phrase. It's just a map with circles or little blobs drawn on it from where the consultant has determined the wetlands are. And the Army Corps will either reject that or accept it. They will sometimes come out and do a site visit. I think they've already done the site visit here.
Right.
So everybody's kind of agreed that there's 8 acres of wetlands. The next issue is, where's the building going and what's the impact on the wetlands? What can you do in terms of mitigation on site through design and other things versus what has to be completely eliminated in order to put the building where the building needs to go? And we don't know the answer to that yet. That's coming. That September-October frame is when the architect will be working on that issue.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. A roll call?
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Kramer?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
And Mr. Peterson is absent.
Item C, Squire Pat and Boggs engagement matter. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
So that's item three. Anybody? Any discussion? Yeah. Yes,
thank you very much.
Thank you. David. Have a good rest of the week.
This letter should look somewhat familiar. We looked at it back in December, January, just as we were embarking on really employing and approving Squire Patton, even though we already approved them as a law firm. It was more just a... So this document, this letter here, is just really just to confirm them as our official bond counsel. As I might have pointed out the other day, he did actually put a numerical value of $96,500, which... is going to be their fee thus far, and will be paid out of bond premium. So this is not a, you know, out of pocket, so to speak. It's not like I'm going to be cutting a check. That's really the difference between what we saw 6 months ago in a letter of engagement. So it's more of a reaffirmation.
Are we ready? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Kramer?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
And Mr. Peterson's absent. 4-0.
Item D, the Zena and Associate engagement letter. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
That's four.
Great. I had asked Michael to put together specifically after our last meeting, too. This is more or less just a scope of services. Not mandatory, but I thought it'd be good for the board to at least to review, his engagement letter, which spells out his duties as municipal advisor. I don't believe he attaches a dollar amount to his engagement, but any fees that he incurs will also be paid out of bond premium. So, we'll see that at a later date. But just wanted to at least get it in bullet point format as a nice little overview of what Michael Priscilla has been doing for us and will continue to do for us as the municipal advisor.
So if there's no dollar amount, I mean, we don't have a ceiling to this, so is that of concern?
Not having a history of being involved in these type of projects, He explained to me that it's not unusual. It's just because it's paid out of premium. So I wish I knew how to answer that specifically. I don't have a track record when it comes to this specific document, but I could ask him for such.
I don't know. Does everybody feel comfortable about that? There's no per hour. There's no.
Well, if it's a contingency, it's not going to be per hour, but yeah, it is interesting that he doesn't have a percentage.
Where do you see
it's
that?
It's under fees and expenses.
Okay, thank you. What does that mean, Ellen?
I'm not quite sure what it means exactly in connection with this particular transaction. I mean, he does say that he has a fiduciary duty to, put the school district's interests ahead of his own, ahead of the firm's.
I mean, shouldn't it be treated just like a law contract where we had at least a fee or a set amount?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they have an interest in maximizing it. They get paid more if we get a better deal. So I think we're all, it's in his best interest to get the best deal for us.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I guess I'm comfortable with it because of that. And he also has an language at the end when it says they may either party may terminate at any time with 30 days written notice. It is a little bit unusual that there's not a percentage in there. So maybe, Jeff, should we just ask and then address this at the next meeting? That would be the only question.
Yeah, this document is not as critical as,
right.
The resolution, obviously, and the letter of engagement with bond counsel. So I can ask Michael to clarify or at least to add some sort of additional documentation. I can also reaffirm with him that it's not. I'm pretty positive that I just asked him. I said, hey, give me some sort of, let me use your letter of engagement and let me present it to the board. And it was a timely manner with regard to tonight. So I'm happy to ask him that and get a point of clarification.
Yeah, my understanding and recollection when you talked about this in the past, too, was that the what comes out of the bond premium, which pays for John Larson and Michael, that doesn't, we're still getting $44.5 million out. The premium is, it's the extra that's on top of that when the whole sale and everything goes through, and then that's where they take their cut, as if the investors and everybody putting it in are the ones that are paying that extra fee to cover their expenses. So I don't know. Is that how you recall it, too?
That's it. It's just, as you're buying a stock, you pay, not buying stocks, but you pay a transaction fee.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with bonds. In effect, you still have to pay, a financial services. I don't know what even they call it. So that piece is going to go to him.
Right. So, and that's why whatever that piece is, because it's similar to like John's, right? If we went back to John Larson and says, hey, can you drop it from 95 to 85 or whatever, it's not like we get 10 grand more. That's coming out of the premium, my understanding. And so they do their thing, and then that's that sliver that kind of comes on top of the transactional fees. And so.
And it's also contingent, that first sentence, as you pointed out, Ellen, under fees and expenses, contingent on the successful closing of the transaction. So his fees are really, to have a contingency and really just an acknowledgement of this contingency and this arrangement, I think is pretty important.
Well,
so
who works out those percentages? And then we ultimately are responsible for that. So if that's not clear, isn't that fall on us still?
It becomes more of an MSRB, the municipal, municipal bond security. It's when we go to Chicago. It's the folks that sell the bonds. It's the regulatory organization that really sets those, ultimately will help set the premium. So it's kind of hard to, I don't know if it's even possible.
They set the premium, but not the percentage. I mean, who else is taking percentage from that? Just him?
Well, the underwriter will get paid a portion of it as well, which is, again, not included in this. But the underwriter, that's why they're involved, because that's where they make their money.
His job is to deliver us the $44.5 million.
I understand that.
And putting their package together, they pay themselves by how they sell it. Now, if there's a problem, like if we were rated, you know, single A or something, and our bond rating was down, it's harder then for them to sell those bonds at kind of premium they want to, because they're not going to be as desired, so their fee would be lower, or they'd have to pitch this as being a less lucrative bond sale for us. They believe, I think, especially based on the meeting that we had the other day, that, you know, we're going to even try to get our rating up. So probably delivering what they need to deliver for us, and particularly since the interest rates haven't gone too nuts, so in the interim is going to be fairly easy for them to do, so they're going to drive that premium up. Can he make a little extra money for himself if things go forward? He might be able to, depending on how things go, but he's comfortable that he can deliver, you know, what we've essentially said is our goal in this thing, and make his money on the top. And, you know, in effect, we got a hired gun who's going to make sure he delivers what we hired him to do, and he'll make his money on the edges.
Maybe we can bring him back for another round, another refresher on this topic too, about how this works and where that money comes from, and, you know, because obviously there's a discrepancy or a difference, right, between John Larson's, which calls out a specific number, and Michael's, which is vague. And so ultimately, I think we're still fine with using them as bond counsel and their services, but this is the first time we've been down this too. And so it's like, okay, wait a minute, so how does this work? And he explained some of it already, but then, you know, you go away for 2 months, and then it's like, wait a minute, right, where does that come from again? And
there's
what's, you know, so, you know, maybe we could bring him back in. I don't know if it's at our next meeting or another meeting, to kind of refresh us on how that works.
But still, there's no reason why not to approve the letter of engagement, though, because that's all it is. Is that correct?
It is. And actually, if you read also the second to last paragraph states that Sozina agrees to promptly amend or supplement this agreement to reflect any material changes or additions to the agreement, you know, basically as you see fit. So if you have questions and he wants to amend it, instead of, you know, that 30 days might preclude you, but, you know, I guess the more I think about this, and the fact we've got the 30th and the 31st coming up pretty quick,
yeah,
and I prefer to acknowledge it now and make some changes if we may,
okay,
if you agree. But
I think that's a good idea. What Mark said, just bring him in.
Absolutely.
So
August 6th is going to be here before you know,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and he can recap what went on anyways in Chicago.
And I'm sure he's happy to also. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Dozen.
Yes.
Mrs. Kramer?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Peterson is absent.
Item passes 4-0. Okay. Item 4, Treasurer Consent Agenda A. We have the Fiscal Officer's Certificate. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Yeah, this document really just acknowledges the signature to the bond resolution. It's really just a one-pager that was attached, so it basically allows the board is certifying that, yes, they signed the bond resolution, and you're basically giving me the authority as the officer or the officer of the board to,
sure,
acknowledge.
Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Kramer?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Peterson is absent. 4-0.
May I have a motion to enter into executive session at 6:10?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Kramer?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Peterson is absent. 4-0.
We will now be in executive session for the reason that was stated at the beginning of the meeting.